Well, it's the kind of church I want to be a part of where the Lord is moving. Let me say this, that the altar is always open. And I love, in the midst of worship, you know, there are a lot of people that they want an invocation at the end so that they can come and pray. The time to pray is when the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart. And I'm glad that a lot of times in the midst of worship, when we lift Jesus up, that's when He draws them. And, hey, you got questions, I promise you this morning, the Lord has answers. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn with us over in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, as it were, in the fifth chapter. And as you turn there, just one verse. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll read a couple. But one verse that God has really placed upon our heart. And it is that fifth chapter and the 14th verse. And this is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. Wherefore he saith, awake, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that thou walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because these days are the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father God, I thank You so much. God, I worship You for what I feel in my heart. God, thank You for the good Spirit of God. God, I know that I'm saved, and I know because of Your presence that I feel in my soul. God, I thank You that Your Spirit is not only a comforter, but God, it indwells us, and You indwell us, and You strengthen us for the labor that is before us. God, I'm afraid this morning that some of my brothers and sisters may be cast down. Lord, some of them may be struggling. And God, I myself, from time to time, find myself in a place where it seems like that it's hard to just grasp hold of the reality that one day we're going to a place called heaven. But God, I pray this morning through the revelation of Your Spirit, God, show us and make heaven, God, as real as it's ever been, that we may have a desire to labor and to work while it's day, because we know the night comes when no man shall work. God, I thank You that when this life is over, there's a place that Jesus said, I've gone to prepare that where I am, you may be also. God, through the worship hour, just seemed like You wanted us to know how real heaven is and how close we are to eternity. God, if there's somebody here this morning that's never been saved, God, I pray, help them make that preparation. For the only thing that'll make us worthy of heaven is to be born again of the Spirit of God through our faith in the blood that Christ shed on Calvary. God, I pray this morning, uplift Your church, wrap Your arms around her and encourage her to finish strong, because God, it seems like over the distance I can hear the echo of a trumpet. And that great promise that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who remain will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We've got ourselves in a mess in this old world. God, we desire deliverance. We ask this, but before you draw us out and before you take us out, God, let us labor to take all with us. We ask this in Christ's name for our sake. God, forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me, God, and use me this morning. Preach the word of God. Just let me be a little vessel in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Brothers and sisters, we live in a dark day. We live in a dark hour. I don't know that I've ever seen so much turmoil. It seems like every time that I stand behind this book board, it is to encourage the family of God to just press on. And I really do believe in my heart of hearts, and some of you men who've been serving the Lord longer than I have, I believe we're nearing the last hour of the last day before eternity comes. Now I want to make sure that everybody that I love and all those that I'm in contact with know the Lord Jesus Christ and are known of Him. For brothers and sisters, for some the Lord will come as a thief in the night, for they've not made their preparation. But for those of us who have made our preparation and we are secure in our salvation, we await for that great day of the Lord as a bride waits for that of her groom. And we are in that period of waiting. But while we wait, let us not slumber. And throughout the Word of God, so many of His men and so many of His servants and so many of His women have slumbered and they've missed the opportunity that is before them. Let us not forget that even in the midst of the turmoil that is around us, our great Father blesses us with blessings from heaven, that we sit in heavenly places together, and He allows us to feel the power of His Spirit and the yoke and the bond of His love that yokes us together and bonds us together, and He gives us a desire to serve God together. And in this hour, in this most serious hour, in this most desperate hour, brothers and sisters, this can still be the best time of our life. It can still be the great hour for the church to rise up and take her place. But so many are asleep to the fact of the blessings of God. So many are asleep to the coming of the Lord. And here the Apostle Paul writes unto the church of Ephesus and says, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give thee light." Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that there's coming a day when the Lord Jesus Christ shall return the clouds of glory. And in that hour and in that day, the only thing will matter is whether or not you've been born again on the Spirit of God. And this is a getting ready place, and now is the time to make your preparation. When we go on vacation, y'all have that checklist you go through. Got to make sure I put food out for the dogs. And you ladies, bless your hearts. Y'all sit down and make a list of everything that'll need or that we'll need when we go on the journey. And all these different things. We make a preparation for the journey that we're going to go on. And let me say this, Church of the Living God, we need to be prepared because we're setting sail on a journey one day after a while. We've got to be ready. Awake us thou that sleep, and Christ shall give thee light. And the only way you're going to make it off the ground when the Lord comes is to be born again of His Spirit, washed in the blood of the Lamb. But let me say this, those of us who are saved, there's so long deep down in our heart to be done with the strife and be done with the trials and be done with the trouble and to go home and be at peace with the Lord forever. Brothers and sisters, throughout Scripture, men and women have fallen asleep on the promises of God. I couldn't help but think about Elijah. And we had this in our Sunday school lesson only a couple weeks ago, and how Elijah had saw the great moving of God on the mountain, and how God had sent fire and lapped up the sacrifice and lapped up the altar and lapped up the water in the ditches with fire, and how that they had won a great victory over the prophets of Baal. But then Jezebel sends out words and says, by this time tomorrow, you'll be like one of those slain prophets. In other words, Elijah, your God cannot protect you. I'm going to take your life. Let me say this morning. Listen, hey, I'm like everybody else. I don't understand this COVID. I've got a lot of friends and we've got family and church members in the hospital that are suffering. And some have already went home to be with the Lord. But I want you to hear this morning. My God has a power to protect us, and if it's the will of God to carry me out by death, I'm ready to go. I can make that boast because I'm sure of my salvation. I know in whom I believe, and I know in whom I have trusted. There Elijah, just from the words of Jezebel, he flees and finds himself. He went from the mountaintop down into the wilderness, and there he is having a big pity party about things he don't understand and about all that's going on around him and all that's going on in his nation, and he don't understand and he's discouraged and he says, I ain't made a bit of difference. I'm just going to give up and quit. I'm no better than my father. Let me tell you something, church of the living God, get up off your pity party and know this, there's work to do. We still have work to do. There's no time to slumber in the wilderness. It's time to run the race that is set before us. And one day after a while, we're going to break the tape. We shall see Jesus. In all these struggles and these trials, it'll be worth it. All this trouble we face, all these questions we got. I'm going to tell you where I'm going, Russell. There ain't no COVID. See where I'm headed. There ain't no cancer. Thank God we're going to be in the presence of the Lord. And so shall we be with the Lord forever. I don't understand. I don't understand all that's going on. I've tried to make sense of it. I've got people that are studying it, like my wife and my daughter, that are a lot smarter than I am. And don't say amen there. I can't make a whole lot of sense of what's going on around us. But the only thing I do know is that I'm the Lord's and that He's mine. And that's enough to get us through this. Elijah got down there in the wilderness, said, I'm no better than my fathers, and he requested for himself that he might die. You ever felt sorry for yourself? Have you ever felt like giving up? Have you ever felt like you wasn't making a difference in what can little old me do? Anybody ever felt that way? Anybody ever felt minuscule, like a speck of dust being blown in the wind, but knowing this, that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and it's not just happenstance, you're where you're at and doing what you're doing, that the mighty hand of God has been on your life all the way, and thank God there may have been times you went in the wrong direction, but the mighty hand of God and the grace of God that was upon you broke you back in the straight and the narrow way. You didn't get where you're at by some accident or by some cosmic circumstance. The hand of God has been on us all the way, and I'm persuaded the hand of God will carry us home. Elijah is down there in the wilderness and he's asleep. You say, well, Brother Russell, he's in a good place. He's resting. No, he was so burnt out. Let me tell you this, Christian, if you're suffering from burnout, I'm going to tell you, God didn't expect you, listen, to run this race without His Spirit. Here's something we don't preach in the Baptist church. And this is not a Pentecostal idea. This is a spiritual, biblical truth that God wants to indwell us. And when you got saved, you get all you needed to run the race. But I'm going to tell you, you need to drink from the well of salvation that God has put on the inside of you. And thank God there is a well that's springing up. And every now and then we'll get in a meeting and the Spirit of God will begin to rise like the sap in the trees in the springtime. But I'm going to tell you this, when God feels fills us up and we pour out. He wants us to fill up and pour out and fill up and pour out. But it'll take Him to do the work that He's called us to do. There are a lot of people that God uses, and after a period of time, they feel empty. And after a period of time, they settle in that emptiness. Don't settle for empty. Be filled. He said, church, be filled with the Spirit. This work that God has called us to do, we cannot do in the carnal man and in the flesh. It takes the Spirit. He said, don't you be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. Old Elijah, he's given up. He's laying there in his sorrow. And an angel wakens him out of his slumber and has a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water and says, take and eat and drink. The journey is too great for you. I'm telling you, this journey's too great without you eating from the Word of God. This journey's too great without coming to the house of God on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached in the Spirit. This journey's too great to go without a drink of water and the Spirit of God refreshing you. Many a Christian has left his wake and his carcass down in the desert, starving to death, thirsty to death, but never seeking to find the water and the bread that truly satisfies. Rise and eat and drink. The journey's too great. So he rose up, he ate and he drank, and he went back to sleep and a second time. Now listen, I'm going to tell you this, and you've heard me say this. This is a double portion for that man of God. It is a double portion for Elijah. That first portion was for him to go in strength. But I'm going to tell you, that angel said, arise, eat and drink, for the journey's too great. He got another portion. That portion wasn't for him. It was to be used in the house of God. It was to be used for the people and the sake of the people around him. And God has given you and I a double portion to be used out in the world to see folks saved. The Bible said he ate and drank and he went in strength. Let me ask you, are you strong today spiritually? Are you just about exhausted, ready to give up? The Bible teaches us, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be, what? Let me tell you, it takes a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. It takes a desire from your heart. Listen, the things of the world will never satisfy that longing down inside of you and that longing down inside of me. It takes a desire to feel God's presence and a desire to hear God's Word. And His Word moves us. It said of Jesus in one place, never a man spake like this. When the Lord does the talking, my brothers and sisters, it brings help and comfort. Awake, thou that slumber, he said in Christ, shall give thee light. I'm going to tell you, so often in life my eyes are closed to the goodness of God. Let me ask you this, has anybody got their eyes on things that make you angry? Oh, it's a mess. You say, Russell, you preach this every time you stand. Maybe I need it, even if you don't. When you look around and you see all the evil in the world, when you look around and you see all the chaos, when you look around and you see all of the trouble, and you see the troublemakers and those that care not for the things of God, is anybody besides your preacher? It infuriates me. There's something inside of me. And don't get me wrong, there's somebody that said, well, it's good to have righteous indignation. I'm going to tell you, I'm not righteous enough to have any indignation on my own. It causes my love to grow cold. And so what do we do? Do we just sit idly by and stay asleep and act like nothing, stick our head in the sand like the ostrich? Or do we do what the Apostle Paul told the church in Ephesus? He said, arise, wake up, fill up, get up. I'm going to tell you, every now and then, church, we've got to get up and get about the Father's business. It's not enough just to fill up. Sometimes we got to rise up. You say, Brother Russell, there's a great adversary that's against us. He's always been against us. He's always been against the church from the very day that I sold my life. And when I say sold my life, the very day I give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, he's done everything he can to try to keep me from preaching and try to keep you from preaching and keep you from preaching. But I'm going to tell you something. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. There's a burning down in my soul. Wake up. Wake up to the opportunity that's around us. Wake up to the need that is around us. There are more lost people around us than have ever been. There are few people affiliated with the church than have ever been. And God is calling you and me to go out into this world and make a difference. Now, he said, wake up. And he said, fill up. Because one day, we're going up. And here's the key. You must be born again. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Listen, I want you to hear me. If you've never been saved, you're going to have to get saved if you're going to go to heaven. In the 25th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, the Bible tells us a story. I'll be real quick here, but I feel led to go in this direction. The Bible tells us of 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. They all took their lamps, but 5 took oil in their vessels and 5 took no oil in their vessels. And the Bible said, while the bridegroom tarried, while they were waiting on the Lord, if you'll have it, listen, they slept and they slumbered. And you may be asleep and you may be slumbering. I'm going to tell you, in the midnight hour, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And this preacher's come to tell you, don't let him come as a thief in the night. Be prepared for the coming of the Lord, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, he's coming again. And those foolish, when the call was made, go ye out and meet the bridegroom, the foolish said to the wife, give us of your oil that we might have oil. They said, not so, lest we not have enough. Go to them that sell and buy for yourself. And while they were gone, while they were trying to make preparation, the bridegroom came and carried those wives, those that were filled with the Spirit, into his chamber, and the door was shut. And all these premillennials that talk about another opportunity, let me tell you this, when the door's shut, it's shut, it'll never open again. Amen. They came and they knocked on the door. And he said, depart from me. He said, I never knew you. Stand to your feet this morning. Isaiah said, come and let us reason together. I want to reason with you for just a minute. You look at this world and you see something's going on. You cannot deny that. Saved or lost, you cannot deny that we're living in a time that's unlike anything we've ever seen. Amen. This man that's standing before you is telling you that these things are the signs of the coming of the Lord. That Jesus is coming and there's nothing that prevents His coming. Not one thing. Everything has been fulfilled. He's just waiting on the Father to say, son, go get him. That's all He's waiting on. But if you see all these things that are going on around us and you've not made preparation, when the Lord comes, when He comes, it'll be like a thief in the night. When He comes, you'll be left on the outside. And as the rest of us go up, and you're left to perish in the judgment of God, you'll wish you would have heeded the message and would have made your preparation. And I love you this morning. And I want you to be prepared. But more so than this man standing here, the Lord Jesus Christ loved you and died for you on Calvary. He wants you to go to heaven. But you'll not make it unless you bow on your knees and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so God has brought you to a service like this and an hour like this, and you feel His pull in your heart, and you know you've never been saved, and you know it's God that's speaking. Now is the time to do something about it. Come get us a song. Come ahead. All over the house, church, you pray. Now is your opportunity to get right with God. You say, Brother Russell, I'm a good person. Hey, the Bible says none of us are good except Christ. You're not good enough to make it there. It'll take your faith in Christ. If you've never been saved by the grace of God, first of all, that's the first offering this morning. Come and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Go ahead and sing, Steve.
It's 5:45.
If God is dealing with your heart, don't you put this off. You see all that's going on around you. Make it right with God. I tell you what, if you're not ready and you think about the coming of the Lord, it'll strike fear down into the depths of your soul. If you're not ready, you dread the coming of the Lord worse than anything. But if you're ready, there's a great part of you that longs and desires to see Him coming in the clouds of glory. And I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more of a longing I've got. And listen, something happens to me and God calls me home. Understand this, I've been waiting on that day to come. Because death is sure to come to each one of us. And whether it be by the coming of the Lord or by the way of the grave, I've made my preparation. So when you walk by my graveside, Tyler, you look down in there and you say, I know I'll see Him again. He made His preparation. When you walk by my graveside or you walk by my casket, know this, that was a man that loved the Lord and he knew where he was going and he was sure of it. Do you have that kind of confidence in your salvation? That day will come. And I know that sounds morbid. I'm going to tell you, I know that I know that I know. And son, listen. Listen, son. There's a part in you that wants to know. Just come on and try the Lord and see. Just come ahead. Just come ahead this morning. Sing another verse. Just come ahead. Just come ahead and try. You know this is real. You know it is. Come on and try. Try the Lord and see if He's good.